Welcome to Love Versus Hate. My name is Anne, and I am your old-fashioned nerd.
And I am Emily, the mainstream millennial.
And on this podcast, we like to debate about the things in life that we truly love and hate.
And usually my picks are way better than hers, and she just doesn't agree.
What? No, my picks are way better.
No. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite movies.
Yes, because last episode you guys got to hear about one of my favorites. So this time we're switching around, we're talking to Emily.
The roles have been reversed.
Emily, what movie are we watching today?
You're in for a treat, Anne.
Yeah?
We're watching Napoleon Dynamite.
I have very much heard of this movie, but I have never seen it.
Which is a sad, sad story.
But it won't be sad for much longer because you're going to show me it.
Or, as Kip would say, yes.
See, I don't get that reference. Will I get that soon?
Yes.
But before we get started, I don't know if all of you know this. Maybe some of the nerds out there on my... Well, okay, I did actually. The only reason I know that this happened is because Emily has been talking nonstop about it. Also, we're recording in my apartment again because we're watching a movie. So if you hear my cat or anything weird, it's just normal apartment stuff. But did you know that Taylor Swift came out with a new album really recently? Emily, yeah. Tell the audience, when did you listen to it?
Well, it's not that crazy. Like, if I was a true Taylor Swift fan, I would have waited till midnight.
Oh, and listened to it
on Friday. Oh, okay. And listened to it. But I just got up an hour early for work to listen to it. I got up, put on my Beats, and just laid in bed for an hour listening to the album.
I feel like it was that, great. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people might have done that.
Yeah. What do you have to say? Nim likes it too.
What? No, no, Nim, don't betray me. I mean, it wasn't. I've listened to probably half of it, maybe, from what you've shown me.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. I mean, I've never been like a Tay Tay hater. Tay Tay's fine. But
yeah, Anne thought that she made up the nickname Tay Tay.
No, I never thought I made it up. I just thought that not a lot of people used it.
Well, lots of people call her Tay Tay, but I don't, because I have this weird thing where if somebody has a nickname and I didn't make it up, then I feel weird calling them that.
So you don't call Taylor Swift Tay Tay?
Yeah, because I didn't make that up. Other people call her that, and I'm like, I didn't make that up. Is she going to fall out your window?
No, she'll be fine.
Anne's cat is like literally about to fall off of her balcony.
She
and
does
she's
that.
Like, oh, she's fine.
No, she does that all the time and she's never fallen.
I would be so scared, but it's not my cat. I guess she's a smart, she has 9 lives, it's fine. So yeah, that's my thing with nicknames. If I didn't make it up, I'm not going to call you your nickname, sorry.
So do you have a nickname for Taylor?
No, it's just Taylor Swift.
Oh.
I'm really boring.
See, I don't know what it is, but Tay-Tay I think it's for me a somewhat term of indifference. I guess, because I don't really like Taylor Swift, but I don't dislike her. You know, if her song comes on the radio, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I'm not gonna go out and seek her music out. And so, Tay Tay is my way of saying yeah, you're fine. I don't mind you, but I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, so you're just Tay Tay to me.
She's not a Swiftie.
Is that what they're called?
I think so.
Interesting. I actually have been thinking about if people who listen to our show, what should we call our fans? You know, every fandom has some kind of term, but I don't know what our fandom would be. We'll have to let our listeners maybe decide.
Yeah. What do you want to be called?
The question is, though, listener, is if you do come up with a name for yourselves, will Emily call you that if she didn't come up with it?
Oh, that's what I was just thinking in my head.
So maybe we have to let
Emily. Maybe I have to do it.
Yeah, you might just have to. Otherwise, you won't have a term for our listeners.
Great. I'm also very indecisive.
I can be. I'm trying to become more decisive and make decisions and just say, yes, this is what we're doing, or no, I will not do that. Yes.
Yas.
Did I do that right? I don't know.
Yas.
Yeah?
Yas. Oh, are you talking about the yes?
Oh, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, no, I didn't do it right at all. I did not do it right at all. I realize now.
No. So should we get in right into what Napoleon Dynamite's about?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about it.
So I took some notes because I feel like I haven't been as prepared as I could have been in past episodes.
Yeah,
on
we
what
had
I'm talking about.
Yeah, me too. We're gonna work on that.
And so I have a whole page of notes. So Napoleon Dynamite was created in 2004, and it stars John Heder.
Are you positive on that pronunciation?
No, but I did look. I tried to look it up, and I watched two videos of robots saying his name, and they said, John Heder, John Heder, John Heder. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's John Heder. So then I looked up an interview, and they pronounced it John Heder, so I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. But anyways, so John is Napoleon.
Okay.
He's your main guy.
Yeah.
And fun fact, he was only paid $1,000 for this film.
Really?
And after the movie came out, it like was a really big success. And if he didn't speak up and say something, like he renegotiated.
I knew what you were trying to say, but you were struggling.
He renegotiated and got a cut of the profits. But if he wouldn't have done that, he would have only been paid $1,000 for this movie.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
And it was directed by Jared Hess, who he also directed Nacho Libre. That was Jack Black.
Oh, I know who Jack Black is, but I've never heard the movie.
And then Masterminds, which stars Owen Wilson and Kristen Wiig and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yes, I know that name. Yeah, I know who that actor is. Okay. I don't know how you pronounce the name. I think you were right, though.
Yeah. So he doesn't have, like, a ton of films that he's directed, but anyways, let me tell you what it's about.
Yeah.
So it's about a 16-year-old awkward kid, Napoleon, in Idaho, and he lives with his grandma and his older brother, whose name is Kip, and Kip is in his 30s. He doesn't work. He spends his time online, like, chatting with some girls. And then his grandma gets in a bike accident, and she has to go. So then his uncle comes to, like, take care of Kip and Napoleon. And then it's basically just, like, Napoleon going through school and, like, making two friends.
Okay. So, yeah, kind of his, like, high school life a little bit.
I have some fun facts.
Ooh,
should I wait until the end?
Yeah, let's wait till the end. I feel like I need to experience it a little bit. So tell me just a little bit about why you love it.
I don't know. I just love it because it's like stupid and simple, but it's so enjoyable. Like their humor is really funny. It's like one of my favorite types of humor.
Okay.
And it's just, you just find yourself quoting it like all the time.
Yeah. And I know, like, back in, like, high school, I think is roughly 2004. No, that would have been...
That's 15 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago. I seem to recall, though, friends talking about it in high school. Maybe that's kind of... Since it's about a 16-year-old, maybe that's kind of the time frame that a lot of people watch it. But I recall my high school friends talking about it, and I just... It was one of those movies at the time that I thought I would watch with them, but I just never did, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, like, Napoleon is kind of a bit quirky, right? He's kind of nerdy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's kind of
funny. He's kind of out there. It's kind of like he's a fish out of water.
Okay. I just think it's funny that this is your pick for the movie, because I feel like people would expect me to pick this one.
Yeah.
Because it seems like more of a nerdy type movie, but...
And I feel like you'll either hate it because it's, like, the stupidest thing, and, like, you're just like, oh, I wasted this amount of time of my life, and I can't get that back.
Yeah.
Or you're like, that was really stupid. That was amazing.
I'm leaning towards, I believe, the former. Which is the first.
Well, I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out. I am open, though. I mean, I really love... Well, see, but that's the thing. I really love, like... have you seen the Monty Python's Holy Grail?
I think I've seen, like, parts of it.
You've probably seen clips. I'm sure you've seen clips of it. Like, it's... The thing is, though, even though it's kind of stupid, there is, like... There's a lot of humor behind it. And there is, like, this sort of beauty in its stupidity. So I get... I can understand liking, you know, those movies that are just funny because they're stupid. So maybe, we'll see. But I would argue that the Holy Grail is on kind of a different level. But.
Yeah, I think so. Because this is just, like, super, like, there's not really anything going on. There's really, like, nothing to this movie.
Okay.
I'm making it sound amazing right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you were really selling it. I'm so intrigued.
Yeah.
That was sarcastic, in case people couldn't tell. Although... to be
fair. I guess there is one piece of the movie that there's like something going on. His best friend Pedro is trying to be the president of the school. So he's helping him. So there's that.
Okay. And to be fair, I am kind of, I mean, I feel like I just have, this is one of those movies that I should see in my lifetime so that people stop bugging me about not seeing it. So I am kind of excited to be able to say, oh yeah, I've seen that movie.
Yes. Yes.
So you can take that as a win, Emily, but we'll see if I actually like it.
Let's pop this baby in.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, and for those who would like to see Napoleon Dynamite, I don't think that you can watch it anywhere except for
like
DVD
on DVD
or like renting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's on Hulu or Netflix. So, sorry, peeps.
But hopefully, I'm assuming most of our listeners have probably seen it. So maybe they'll already have seen it.
Yeah.
But maybe not. We'll find it.
All right, let's watch it. We just finished Napoleon Dynamite in all its glory.
Oh, man.
What did you think?
Well, let me let's try and summarize. So there was Napoleon, 16-year-old, living with his grandma. And was Kip his brother?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and his brother Kip. And basically, after that, not a lot made sense. I mean, there's just like, you know, that he had experiences at school and he, you know, they... But it jumped around a lot, and it really was just like short snippets from his school life and, you know, trying to find a girl to go to the dance with. And some of it was kind of sad because the girl like was forced to go with him by her mom and just left him at the dance. It was kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
And his uncle was pretty mean to him. His uncle was not very nice to Napoleon.
Yeah, Uncle Rico.
Yeah, Uncle Rico, not a nice guy.
He's just like self-obsessed, and he got Kip to like sell Tupperware with him.
Yeah, everything that happened was very random.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, I will say I started to like it more once the vote for Pedro started to happen and like the presidency.
She laughed.
I did laugh
a little bit. Multiple times.
But it was only just because it was so bizarre that it was kind of laughable. And I really only started, like I said, I really only started enjoying it once that part started to come. Because then the dance happened. The dance was funny. I was very impressed with Napoleon's dance moves. He could dance, man. Mm-hmm. He was pretty, I mean, there were moments where it was like, whoa. But overall, he was pretty fluid.
Fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
That I wrote down for my research.
Yes.
The dance scene. John danced to three different songs, and they took the best moves from those three songs and combined them into the dance that we saw.
Oh, okay.
So all of those, like, scenes were just from 10 minutes of him dancing that they just, like, edited together.
So it wasn't choreographed?
Mm-mm.
Wow. I'm impressed. John, you're a good, decent dancer.
Do you want me to tell you more fun facts?
Well, here, let me give some of the notes that I wrote down. And then, yes, I want to hear all about your fun facts. I felt like Tina. Tina was like my soul animal because at the very beginning, like Napoleon's feeding her. Tina was the, was she a llama?
The llama, yeah.
And she's like repulsed by him. She was like, ugh.
So Tina, you fat lord, come get your dinner.
Yeah. She like pulled away from him. So I was like, I feel like Tina.
That's one of my favorite quotes.
I could tell. Emily kept quoting throughout the movie. It was kind of fun. One of my favorite quotes was when Pedro was right before he was about to go on stage. And he was like, I'll just tell them that I have nothing to say.
Yeah, she laughed real hard at that.
Yeah, that was funny. I liked Pedro a lot. Pedro was probably my favorite character after Tina.
Yeah.
You only see Tina for like two scenes, though. But Pedro was funny. I liked Pedro a lot. I couldn't believe that guy shot the cow.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that was something that I read that actually happened in real life, in the director's real life. So that's why he included it in the movie.
Oh, okay. It seemed so random and so shocking to just throw in there that I was like, wait, he just shot that cow. And all of the kids on the bus, Yeah, okay, that makes a little bit more sense then if that was why he included it. There was a lot throughout that movie. I was just like, okay, that was...
It was a lot of weird things that you're just like,
Okay.
That just make up the movie.
Yeah, just a conglomerate of weird things. I liked the very, when was this movie made? 2004? Mm-hmm. They definitely did a good job making it look like, you know, late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, the fact that the house was like all brown and mm-hmm. like the dresses at the dance. So I enjoyed the kind of throwback. And also I really enjoyed every scene where they had to make a call and how they had the super lawn like cord. So I just appreciated the nostalgia of it for sure. A vote for Pedro was by far my favorite part. And even at, there was when they started putting the posters up for him and there was actually some pacing in the edit and there actually was some fast cuts and I was like, oh my gosh, hey, look, they're actually, there's a little bit of pacing here. Yeah. Otherwise it's kind of, you know, pretty slow and repetitive. But so I enjoyed that part. There was actually some editing going on. Yeah, that was most of my notes. The only other note, there was a point where Deb is talking to Pedro and she was like, are you disqualified? And Pedro says, no.
And then she's like, can you still run for president?
Yes. I was like, and it reminded me of me because I do that where I really repeat things and Pedro's like, yes. And I'm like, you already answered that question. So I just thought that was my only other note that I thought was funny. Yeah. But overall, yeah.
Did you enjoy it? Are you glad that you watched it? She is.
Yeah, I guess. Just because... you need that for your notes. Just because now I can tell people that I've watched it. And it's one thing I will say about it, too. It's a very referenceable movie. Like, now I understand...
Oh! Idiot!
Yes! Like, and now I kind of get it. Like, I understand why it's so easily referenceable. Just the way that the characters talk and the things they say and how they respond to situations. Yeah. I get it. So... I guess I enjoyed it. Would I watch it again? Probably not. Would I recommend it to people? No. I wouldn't tell anybody to watch it.
Wow. Have you heard that noise? That was Anne's cat, like, flying through the air. Okay, so now to get into some fun facts, because
yes, so
everyone loves fun facts. So, there was actually a Napoleon Dynamite Festival from 2004 to 2008 in Idaho, which is where the movie was filmed and where it took place. And they had things like tater tot eating contests, football throwing contests, and like other things like that that pertain to the movie. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. So they don't do it anymore?
No, I guess not. Another fun fact, the film was shot in only 22 days.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, because there is a lot of different scenes. And like,
although, most of the scenes are either the house, the school, or, I mean, I guess there are scenes with, like, Rico and other houses, but...
The farm.
Oh, yeah, the that weird farm. Yeah, that weird... That was weird.
Okay, the other... My dad...
The eggs.
Oh! My dad and I always... We're always like, do the chickens have large talons whenever we see chickens? Or, like, we're always like...
I liked how the guy was like, I can't understand a word you just said, son, to Napoleon. And yeah, then his friend kid is clearly speaking nonsense.
Let's see what else. Deb is always seen in the cafeteria eating a PB&J, but in real life, she's deathly allergic to peanut butter.
Oh, so what did they replace it with?
I don't know.
Oh.
They didn't say.
Oh, okay.
Tina, the llama's real name is Dolly, and Tina belongs to the director's mom.
Aww. I liked Tina. She's my second fave after Pedro.
All the dishes shown in the opening credits were eaten.
Oh, okay. So the food wasn't wasted. No. That's good to know. I was wondering about that.
My last fun fact. This probably isn't very fun fact for like other people, but for you as an editor,
mm-hmm.
It was edited on Final Cut Pro on a Mac in somebody's basement.
Oh, that's interesting. I could believe it.
So yeah.
There wasn't any real crazy editing going on. Like I said, the one point where it, like the pacing actually picked up, I was like, hey, wow, look,
some editing,
this is nice. But I did like the dance scene, even though, again, it wasn't because of editing or anything, but...
Yeah.
It was just...
John Heder has some mad skills.
He does. I was impressed.
I also really, like, I think the thing that makes it, like, so funny is just, like, how
Napoleon Dynamite.
Just looks. He's like, it looks like he has his eyes like almost closed all the time.
Yeah, and I
want his lips are like always open.
I wanted to know how they did that because I feel like that would be hard. I mean, maybe the actor just did it, but I wonder if there was like some trick to it. If there was some like substance to like.
Yeah, I think that's just him.
Or maybe that's just him.
And like he's always like, gosh.
I know, he looked like he was gonna fall asleep at like any moment.
Another fun fact is, I'm pretty sure Elvis Costello, who is a singer, he used the name Napoleon Dynamite in one of his songs or his albums or something. And so apparently the director of this movie didn't know about that song or that album when he created the movie Napoleon Dynamite, but Elvis Costello is like, I'm pretty sure that he stole that name from me.
Ooh.
So, drama.
That is drama. Because it is a rather distinctive name.
Yeah. He's like, how could he have thought of that? I thought of that.
Yeah. Interesting. Which came first, the song?
Yeah.
I wonder if the writer of Napoleon Dynamite, the movie, had heard it at some point, but maybe it didn't like register with him.
Yeah.
And then later in life, you know, like, because that can happen where you pull things out that you're like, oh, I thought this was my thing. But yeah, he might have been influenced by it. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is a very unique name, Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite. I mean, it's not like Napoleon is a made-up name and dynamite isn't like a made-up word. He could have just been like, I like those two things together.
Right, know. Yeah, and that's true too. Like, yeah, it could have just been a complete coincidence.
The world will never know.
Yeah, but...
But if you haven't seen Napoleon Dynamite, I highly encourage you to do so at least once, please.
That way you can reference it and make funny comments to your friends that they won't understand. That's how it was for me, but now I do understand.
My lips hurt real bad.
I need my chapstick.
I'm really busy right now, Napoleon.
You're really good at impersonating them.
It's because I love them.
How many times have you seen this movie?
Gosh, I don't know.
A lot?
Probably between 5 to 8 times.
Okay, so not crazy amount, no. But more than a couple.
Yeah.
Do you watch it with your family?
Yes.
Do you watch it with your friends?
My dad likes it. I don't know if my mom likes it. I don't know if I've watched it with my friends. I can't remember the last time I watched it, actually. And this actually was my first time watching the post-credit scene.
Oh, yes.
I was reading about it, and I was like, there's a post-credit scene? What?
What did you think? We should talk about the post-credit scene a little bit. What did you think of it?
I don't know. It was just stupid along with the whole rest of the movie.
I know. I was like cringing hearing Kip sing the song to Fonda. It was cringeworthy, but watching Napoleon ride in on the horse was pretty funny.
Everything he does, I'm just like, how do you do that? Like,
I know.
It looks like you're about to fall off the horse.
The way he was like leaning, and I know, I thought that too. I also did really like when he ran over jumped over the fence, or climbed over the fence and like fell. I did laugh at that. It's just, that's how it would happen in real life.
Yeah.
So it was like accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, the post-credit scene, I don't know if it was really necessary, but it was funny. I don't think
any of these scenes were necessary.
That's actually pretty true. This whole movie, like, there wasn't
This whole movie is unnecessary, but at the same time, so necessary for everyone to watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those weird cult sort of things.
Yeah. So what was your life lesson? Because
like
there is a life lesson.
I feel like it has something to do with friendship. You know, like, because the focus, I think, of the overall movie was between Napoleon, Pedro, and Deb and kind of their friendship and how. I mean, because there were moments when they would get upset with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Deb got really mad that she thought that Napoleon wanted her to take enhancements. But that was just her uncle or the uncle Rick. What is his name?
Uncle Rico.
Being
he was
really
so creepy.
Mean. He was really creepy. When he was talking to Deb about they were going to take another glamour shot, this was after the first one, and he started to like unbutton, I was like, oh my God. I was really terrified for a minute. I was like, no, oh, please. Oh gosh, no. But
he was just pulling out his ad.
Yep. And then he left and I was like, thank goodness. Oh my gosh. Thank you. Oh, I was like, because she was like, what are you doing? And the way he just was talking to her was so creepy.
Yeah.
Didn't enjoy that part. But Life lesson. That's what we were talking about. So yeah, I feel like it's something about friendship. Maybe, you know, when your friend runs for president, you got to do everything in your power to support him. And if that means...
Or her.
And if that means dancing on stage and revealing your deepest secret that you're actually an amazing dancer, even though you've shown nobody in your life, then you just got to do it. You got to do it for your friends. And your friends are going to love you and appreciate you for it. And they're going to be your best friends for the rest of life and the rest of your
life. I don't have any skills.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nunchuck.
Like, nunchuck skills.
Hacking skills.
Bow hunting skills. Yeah. I think my life lesson would be to just be yourself, you know? People may not like you, but you're not going to please everyone. And just be yourself and do what makes you happy.
You will find some friends that will like you.
Yeah. Find yourself a Pedro and a Deb in your world.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Or a LaFonda, you know, and Kip seemed pretty happy together.
Except for she, like, changed Kip.
She did, which was kind of weird. But the post-credits
scene... But she did help Napoleon, too.
She did. She brought out his inner dance.
Go LaFonda.
Yeah.
LaFonda.
LaFonda.
All right. Well, if anybody else has seen Napoleon Dynamite, you should definitely let us know on our social media, either Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. What is your favorite scene? I want to know.
Yeah, and... Emily, I want to know what your favorite scene was.
My favorite scene... I think my favorite scene is the scene where he has to go and feed Tina. I just love that scene. It's so funny. It's like 3 seconds, but I love it.
Tina, you fat lard, eat this.
Tina, you fat lard, come get your dinner.
That's what it is. I knew you would know it.
I also really like the chapstick scene, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good. My favorite was the vote for Pedro when they were putting up the posters, just because I was like, oh my gosh, this is actually exciting. I got slightly excited.
So boring. Just kidding. Love you. So yeah, you should definitely watch Napoleon Dynamite if you haven't already. And then if you want to hear more from us, we put out new episodes every Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple. Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. You can follow us there. Or if you really want to, you can create a Podbean account and follow us there. But
yeah, you can also just listen to us on Podbean. But
oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye guys.
Bye.